Welcome back to the IC Pixels podcast. This is Anthony.
And this is David. Fabulous.
You'd be amazed how hard it is for me to introduce the podcast and say the right podcast now that I'm doing two.
Yeah, that's why I don't have any other podcasts, because I felt it would be too stressful.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be stressed out. All stressful.
Goes along with our topic, but... anyway, so how's this, since we last recorded, how's the new year been? The new year, new you, or new year, same you?
New year, constantly improving. I think we said we were gonna, be on time this year, but that has already failed, so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have an idea for that. I thought about it while I was just walking back home from the gym a couple of minutes ago. But this new thing called a calendar, I think we should use.
When did those come out?
I think it's new, 2020.
Oh, okay.
2020. Yeah, I mean, it helps you. They have a 2020 calendar. I think it helps you see what's coming.
It's almost like clearly. Seeing into the future.
Oh, well, wow. I mean, and you can see it clearly for 2020.
That's wild.
You know? I know we did talk about, you know, finding little challenges and things like that to do. I did, I'm not doing it officially or whatever, but I mean, I did like make sure that last time I was out, like when my son was at karate, I took a sketch pad with me, like, okay, let me work on some drawing. Let me just sketch something. Cause I haven't taken the time to sit down and do that in a long time. Mm-hmm. So it's like, let me do that just to, you know, just start working on that craft, like, consistently again.
Right.
Make sure I'm putting in time, you know, more than, you know, not doing the minimum, just, you know, doing something, you know, making some kind of progress. So, you know, it's just putting that in and making things like that, making sure it's easy enough to just throw something like that in your bag and just always carry it with you. I got mad sketch pads laying around that I could just grab easily when I leave the house, or here, keep one in the car or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you eliminate the excuses of why you can't do it. So that's the only thing exciting. Your wife was here. I don't know if that was exciting, but, you know, she was here.
I don't know. it was exciting for me because it was turning up over here.
Oh my goodness. Turning up the heat because it was cold.
That's about it.
Yeah. So I guess this week we're going to start off talking about something we found. It's from the Designers Union. We're part of a graphic design group. We found this. The Designers Union minimum design price list. It's basically a list, and it breaks down in some of these, you know, like, for instance, like under logo design, it has the price for a beginner, professional, agency. And it just gives you the list, the basic price, the minimum price you should be charging for these things. And some of it has, like, you know, for like under logo, it says three design options with two rounds of edits on each. And it's like beginner $150 to $350, professional $450 to $2,500. Professional agency $2,000 to $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Which we've been severely undercharging people.
I don't think of myself as a professional agency, but
professional designer though.
Oops. But so we're gonna put a link to this list in the show notes so you can look at it. But there's a lot of strange. I feel like there's some things in here that are contradictory or don't make sense, because like a logo design is $150 to $350 for a beginning designer, and then vectorizing, just converting a regular existing logo into a vector, they want $100 to $150. That doesn't make sense.
Ooh, what do you mean?
If all I'm doing is vectorizing an existing logo, and I'm charging $150 for that, why can I also charge $150 to design you a logo? Those, like, one is copying and one is creating.
I guess because you're a beginner.
Well, it doesn't say for... Well, it doesn't have the price breakdown for vectorizing. But, yeah. I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't look, if I was to look at this, I wouldn't look at it from the perspective of, oh, I'm a beginner, I need to be in this range, or I'm a professional, I need to be in this range. I look at a professional like, okay, here is the range. I look at it from the perspective of, this is the range. It's from $150 to $5,000. I'm probably not going to, I don't know, maybe one day I will get $5,000 for something I do in terms of a logo design, but I think that's ambitious given that, like, I'm not doing this full time, and I'm not gonna,
you're not a whole company,
I'm not a whole company, so I can't necessarily do all the things that may justify that. I'm not gonna do all the hand holding. You're not gonna be able to come to my office or call me at any time of night or whatever that you just do to justify that. Sometimes when I design logos, I don't even put together like a design brief or anything with it. I'm just like, hey, look, see it, look at the attachment.
I mean,
that might not be the best way.
I'm currently working with a professional agency that's supposed to be redesigning a logo, and they're charging more than the, like, it's not 5,000, it's less than that, but I'm the one doing the hand, holding their hand and walking them through the design. So I don't know. Some places may be better than that, but just, you know, there's different experiences that you can run into. I would say that. But,
well, I think so. I guess the point I was coming to is, like, you can do things to get your price up that might not necessarily be improving your design. Because if you think about an agency, they may, you know, like, let's say you're just a single person, they're going to have, like, people you could call, like a receptionist or whatever, that answer the phone and hold on, please wait. Like, there's services that'll do that for you. They're gonna give you a design brief. They're gonna give you all these documents and stuff.
Like, they may be doing a focus group
they're gonna do like a lot of stuff like that. And you might not be able to do all that, but you could do some of those things to justify your cost. And you can offer people the flexibility to say, because that's what I do for people too. Is like, I'll say, you know, here's the right way to do things, but if your budget doesn't allow that, we ain't got to do all that stuff. We can cut to the chase, and I can just throw something together, stretch some text in Illustrator, and send it to you. Like, I don't like doing that. I'm not saying that's the right way to do things, but you can...
You say stretch some text in
Illustrator. Yeah, stretch some text. Set the height to 300%. It's like having a new font. But... please don't take any advice from me.
I was like, wait, what?
But I was going to say, like, even as a beginning designer, if you do some of that, like, other stuff around the logo design that makes people feel like they're getting their money's worth in terms of, like, a design brief and maybe, like, a usage guide or whatever, a brand guidebook or whatever, some of those things are very, very easy to do, and you can tack that on to, let's say, you were charging $950. You could tack that on and then hopefully get your total cost up higher. And... connected to something we're going to talk about later, a lot of those things are easily repeatable. Like, because I've sent people, like, I remember I used to send people emails long, long, long time ago. I would just send people's email like, hey, you owe me this much money. Please send it to my PayPal or whatever. Then I started making invoices, and I started also doing, like, proposals where I would send you a proposal or a statement of work breaking out what I was going to do. Those things don't take long because it's the same crap I would have wrote in the email, but now it's in a form. It's got my logo at the top. It looks more professional. And I think that has scared away some riffraff, but on the other hand, it has also kind of helped justify getting closer to the top of that professional designer range versus the bottom of the beginner designer range.
Yeah. I mean, especially, when, I mean, like, we've been doing this for years. We're not new to this. We're true to this.
Yeah. We're in the streets.
Huh? Yeah. The cubicle streets.
We're not a business, man. We're a business, man.
Man. So let me handle my business, Dan. I think that's how it goes.
Dan is always stopping you from doing your business. Like, gosh, Dan.
gosh darn it. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at it now, especially under logos design, there's a lot of stuff under here that I'm realizing I probably give people to a certain extent that I should be charging more for.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a good thing to have. I mean, I need to go through the rest of this list, but I think it's a good resource to start with, knowing, like, okay, at least do this much.
Yeah. I agree.
And value yourself, because, I mean, we know that ourselves. Like, we've been doing it so long that we forget that everybody doesn't know how to do this. Mm-hmm. And even the people that get the software doesn't mean they know how to do it well. Because some of the things that, you know, I've included that anyway. It's like, oh, yeah, I'll give you a business card. Yeah, huh? Give me, you know, such and such more, which isn't enough probably.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like...
Well, so for, you know, so for me, sometimes, I don't know if it's like the whole imposter syndrome or whatever it is, but some of the stuff, I know it's so easy to do.
Yeah.
And...
For you.
Yeah, for me, I don't know what the customer knows, but I assume they think it's easy to do too. That's a probably a negative assumption, but I assume they know it's easy too. And so I'm like, yeah. Okay, I already designed your logo. You just want me to put some text and a logo on the card, like no real design to it. Just put them on a card. You're not asking for anything special. It's hard for me to justify charging over $100 for that. Because
I understand
that's going to take me all of 5 minutes.
Just do a little bit more, though. I wouldn't even offer that option to people because that just feels like a waste of time for me.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to do more than that because while I have this program open, I might as well do this too.
Well, yeah. I'm not saying that you should just slap something together. Usually when I'm doing that, I'll spend like 30 minutes on it, but it's still like, that was so easy. But I think that's the important thing to remember is that just because it's easy for you doesn't mean you don't deserve to get paid for it properly. So,
yeah,
you got to up the fees.
Yeah.
But I think I agree with you. Like this list is pretty good in terms of, I guess, like a basic starting point or range finder, I guess you could call it. But like,
so
I mean, when
people
like,
ask
another
you, like,
thing,
hey, do you do this? You can refer to it like, here's a let range. Me see. Yeah.
I want to say for a lot of these things, or some of these things, I fall in that range. For some of these things I've never done before, like Arabic calligraphy or whatever. But there are some things where I'm just way low because I don't feel like it takes, like letterhead.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get many requests for letterhead these days because...
No,
it's just not that important, but
not in 2020.
A lot of times it's just like taking a design I've already done and stretching it, or not stretching it literally, but you know,
stop stretching logos,
rearranging it to properly fit on the layout of a page, and that does not take long for me. And so I'm like, really? I most times when I've done like a whole stationery package, I don't charge a whole lot because I'm like, well, I already did your logo and that's the majority of the design. Now I'm just using those same elements in different places. So, but I think that's just a personal thing where I'm like, this is not going to take me more than 30, 40 minutes to put the whole stationery package together. So I just need to know where you're going to print this out at, because I need to know their specs.
I mean, I know you've heard this analogy before, but, you know, a doctor charges you a ton of money for coming in and talking to you for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's based on what he knows, because, I mean, it's like, you know.
Yeah, his 30 minutes is worth
a lot.
In a
way,
lot,
you can look at it.
Could be like,
it took you 10 years to be able to design that quickly.
You're right. So, and it's hard, it's hard to, like, reflectively understand time, like, the first time I ever did a letterhead, I don't remember when that was, and I don't remember how long it took me. I imagine it didn't take me long, but I'm looking through the eyes of now David, who can do it quickly, versus back then David. Because, I mean, if you did in 2003 or something, you asked me to design a letterhead, I'm gonna be like, well, I don't have Illustrator because I couldn't get a crack off of LimeWire.
Yeah, back then they didn't want you.
Yeah, and now I'm hot. They still don't want me.
No. No, I'm hot and I don't charge you enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to we got to stop doing work for broke boys. Just kidding. No, but I'm not kidding about that. Because I know it's going to be a struggle sometimes if you have a certain clientele that keeps on coming back and they expect a certain price from you and you've been working with them for years. Mm-hmm. If you suddenly like, some new standards came out and so
I can't charge you.
I'm going to have to charge you 300 more?
Well, so I've seen the other thing I think you could do, and I know we've talked about this, like about like raising your prices and stuff like that. Yeah. I would not want to put this price list on my website for anybody.
No. No.
There are some things I want to double. on this list before I showed anybody, because some of these things I charge double this. Like down here, on there's a section about social media design and stuff like that. Some of these I charge more than what they have listed here. But I don't know. I think it's like I said, I think it's a good range, and I think that if you are below this range, I'm concerned. And if you are, if you're below this range and you want to get to this range, then like what I've said, I've been trying to do, I've been doing it for at least the past year, maybe longer. When I'm sending somebody an invoice, I will just add some money because I know that a lot of times I've been low.
Yeah.
I just add money every time. There's been a couple times where inflation. I was like, bam, put another 100 on there.
Yeah.
Or put another 50 on there or whatever. And I haven't gotten any balk. No one's balked at it. Even existing customers. Yeah. I haven't, like, if it's an existing customer I've worked with for years or whatever, I won't usually hit them with the full Monty, like, oh, it used to be 125. But I do a customer by customer basis, but over time I think they've gotten used to it.
Yeah.
And now it's not
an issue. Because that's what they do. Other companies that you work for, they raise their prices all the time. Everybody does.
Yeah, but they'll send you listen on the email, like, yo, Netflix is going up to $9.97 a month or whatever. So you know.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna send that email. It's just next time you ask for work, I'm gonna tell you.
Unless you're doing a ton of work for these people, they probably don't even notice. Yeah. Honestly, they probably don't even notice. Like, oh, you raise it. Oh, okay.
Brings up an interesting point. Like, if your customer was a broke boy when you started working with them and you're still working with them now, and they're still a broke boy, maybe what you've been doing for them is not working.
Yeah. Maybe you need to find somebody else, some other up and coming designer, and pass that work on to them.
So I think you can outgrow a customer, or they can outgrow you. Because I've had customers that, like, kind of blew up, and they were like, "We need all this stuff," and I was like, "I have a day job. I can't do all that, and you can't afford me." So,
yeah.
Good luck. And so they went on and found somebody else, or hired a bigger company, or whatever. That's fine with me. But I've outgrown customers too. Cause it's like I used to do like club flyers for people and stuff like that, and it was just like,
you don't have to.
I'm doing too many of
these.
You
don't have to do that.
Not because basically what happened was when I started. This was when I first moved up here to DC. I was like, yeah, I can. They were fast. I was doing them very quickly, and so I was fine with taking too little money. Like I was taking like 50 to 75 each. And they were like, oh, we hit a lick. We're going to keep using them. And then I was like, no, I can't do this. This is too much.
Yeah. Because
it was a whole lot of work at $75 a pop. No, not happening.
No, you got to charge more. Yeah. Yeah. And I think ultimately ignorance can keep you broke.
Yeah. Well, that's why I agree. And that's why I think that this list, although I don't agree with all of it, at least it's a good idea, like a good... level setter, so you can say, because I was talking to somebody about the work at work about that. Like, if I don't know how much you make, you don't know how much I make, and I don't know. I mean, and you, of course, when you talk to like a recruiter, they're gonna tell you some lie about. They're basically trying to get the lowest offer you can, so you have no idea what to ask for.
Yeah, or what the company could actually bear. I mean, until you, I guess, until now, I was like, I'm in a situation where I'm actually knowing some of the numbers that we're dealing with, not for like people's salaries, but like. Outside contractors and things like that, and it's like, what am I doing?
Pay me a whole lot more.
Like, I'll do this for half and make more than I'm doing making right now. But yeah, I don't. But you don't. Sometimes you don't know what the market will bear because you are dealing with. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to chastise people, but you're dealing with broke boys, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, you may be in a. Especially after you're in a couple of years, you may need to be dealing with buyer things. I mean, or else you're doing something wrong. It's like, why are you still doing work for these people? Pass that on to somebody. Find your little cousin. Teach them how to do that.
Yeah.
You know, pass that work on to them. Empower them. Take most of the cut. Pay them $5. They don't know.
They're six. I was going to... Well, you could outsource to like Fiverr because there are some people on Fiverr that do stuff for the low, but with the quality sometimes. So I've thought about like outsourcing stuff to Fiverr and then just say, hey, send me the source file so I can fix what you did. Because sometimes it'll be like a good start, but like, why did you use this font or whatever? So what I was going
to... But they may give you an inspiration to start. Like, okay, thanks for the idea. Okay, thank you. Here's $5.
I was going to ask you on this price list, they have photography prices. I was going to ask you what you think about those.
Where's the photography?
It's on the third page, photography. I think.
Oh.
It's like $40 an hour for a beginner, $100 an hour for a professional, or $5 to $10 per picture.
I'm not mad at that. I'm not too mad about that. $100 an hour, that's not bad. Because when I was shooting weddings, I would, that's like a good 8 hours. That doesn't include editing. For a wedding, that's why people charge like at least $1,000 for that, because it's all the time you spent there and it's hard work, and then you got to edit all this stuff and get all that stuff ready. It adds up.
So I was looking at they say for image touch up $50 to $75 per picture. I thought that was interesting because I don't know. Again, I think it goes back to the thing, like, most of the image touch-up I've done has been very simple, but I have had a couple people give me this, like, grainy, terrible picture, like, yo, can you make this look like it's in focus and wasn't taken with the potato? Yeah. I'm like, no, I can't really. I've done some work like that for people, but...
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's, like, old photography and things like that, or... Yeah, I don't know, or... I don't know, otherwise you're just throwing... because that could take time depending on how bad the photo is. Take some time.
I want to say I was in that range. When I did it, I was charging around that $50-$75, but I was probably doing too much. I was trying to save bad pictures, and that's just so annoying. Like, if it's just like, hey, can you put this Gucci logo on my shirt, okay, that's not hard. That won't take long.
That's the image touch-up.
I don't know. I thought you
stopped doing club
I've done
flights.
Stuff like that for people, and then I've done...
You're stretching fonts, doing club flyers, putting Gucci logos on their shirt.
I've done stuff like that, and then I've done stuff where people were just like, my hair is looking frizzy. Can you fix that? Mostly women. Most of the stuff has been for women. Or then I've done a few, like... album covery things where people were like, can you smooth out my skin? Like simple stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it just depends. I mean, you can look at that and kind of judge for yourself or whatever. I was looking for something on video editing and stuff like that, but I don't see that on here at all.
Yeah. I have no clue what that is worth or what should be charged for that. Yeah. So I know how to do it. I don't volunteer my services.
Yeah.
Because I have no clue. And I don't...
That may be something to look into.
Well, I feel
into.
Like now... like what we've talked about with, like, web design and in some ways graphic design, it's become, like, with Apple... I won't blame it all on Apple, but, like, they have, like, iMovie or whatever that makes a lot of this stuff very easy. So then it's like... If I edit your video up in iMovie and send it back to you, are you going to be okay with that? For me, I feel like... a little worried that you're going to be like, what?
I think it goes into thing. We forget that people don't either
don't know
how to do it don't have time. I mean, if you're off making boats or whatever you do for a living, like, do you want to spend your time editing videos and not making boats? Even if you kind of know how, like, let somebody else do that that's better at it. I mean, otherwise you can't scale your business because you're sitting there, trying to, do everything yourself, which sounds like a good idea. It's like, oh, just do this myself, save some money. But it's like, that's no way to scale.
Right.
So, I don't know. But yeah, we're going to put a link to this because I think it's a good resource for people. I don't know when they're going to update it or if it has a year that this came out. I don't know. I just saw it last year, though. I think overall it's a pretty good start for people to look at. But I don't know. But you want to get into our other topic?
Let's do it.
The other thing I want to talk about is simplifying your goes along with, like, people that do all these different things. You're a multi-talented designer, so you try to be a photographer, try to be all these painter. I'm basically describing myself. You do all these different things, and you would like to not work for a job anymore. You would like to, you know, have your own business and stuff like that. But how can you do that when every other day you have a new idea for a business and you end up having six businesses that, and none of them are successful? And I wanted to talk about finding ways to simplify that. I always hear from people, it's like, you want to be successful, you need to pick one thing and focus on that. Some people can't do that. Some people can't, some people won't. I mean, I know for myself, I am not as creative when I only do one thing.
Yeah, because your ideas and things that you do, that you get when you're doing the other thing, translate to the other thing. That's a terrible way of describing it, but you understand.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, art and creativity, it goes across all mediums or whatever. And yeah, I mean, I've talked about it before. You get your inspiration from one, because I used to get inspiration from music for paintings. Like, I mean, it's, that way I'm not just looking at other, it's a good way to exercise that muscle, that creative muscle. That begs a question. I mean, it's just something I've been thinking about more. It's like, how do you scale that? How do you make one of your things productive when they all overlap? And it's like, okay, well, I could be a really good photographer if I just focus on my energy and photography. But does that mean I abandon this other thing that could also make me money? Or, do I abandon this thing? And, finding ways to make those things work together and or not overlap.
That's tough. I think one way you could possibly handle that is by finding ways to make sure your things intersect. I mean, if you're in the creative field, things will oftentimes intersect, and that'll make things a lot easier. Because I know how to do photography. I'm working on a project now where I'm building somebody's website. I did their photography, and now I'm designing their book cover that they're selling on their website. I've been able to use different parts of my creativity. Like, web design is not super, super creative from my perspective, but I did that, and then I got to take pictures, did a photo shoot, my first photo shoot that I've been able to get somebody to pay me for. Well, they haven't paid yet, but anyway. And then now I'm even stepping into the graphic design part of it, because they were like, yeah, we need some changes to the book cover. So now I can go in and tweak that. So it's cool to be able to touch on all these things, no homo, but
with
consent, without having to feel like all stressed out running around like, oh, I got a photo shoot and now I got to get back home and design this website for someone, because it's all for the same client. So keeping it all together is good, but it is a situation where sometimes, like, let's say I was working on part of the project. Well, like, I went and did the photo shoot. That was cool. Interesting. Got to go to an interesting location, take pictures, all that stuff. But then I had to get back. I had to edit photos, and then I had to put them on the website. The website was not super interesting to me. And so I kind of delayed that part. And I think that's one of the keys is, like, you got to push through. Sometimes you're going to have to do the parts you don't want to do. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you're going to have to go and wash the dishes or whatever it is that you don't necessarily like doing. You got to do that.
The website is never the fun part for me.
But you got to do that part so you can get to the other part. And so...
Yeah. I mean, because a lot of times a website is the vehicle for all these other things somebody else needs. And it's like, you need to be able to bring that, even though, I'm a web designer and I don't mind designing a website, like in XD or something like that. But do I want to sit there and mess with code and WordPress and all that garbage? No. I know how to do it. Do I want to do it? No. I love, like, just passing that on to somebody else. Like, here, I designed it. You do that because that's boring.
Well, I think that I was going to say another way. Well, obviously, like, you can, in your, like, let's say you have your list of things you like to do. that you want to work on and you're trying to have trouble managing them, I would definitely focus on trying to remove things that you're not that interested in doing. If you're not interested in doing web design, just make that clear up front. I cannot design your website for you. And then that way they can know, and you can either, and then I know we mentioned earlier, like outsourcing, you could outsource that part to someone else to do, so that then you're able to focus on the parts you enjoy, and you have more, maybe less money, but more enjoyment out of the process.
And that person, outsourcing that, like for me, like outsourcing that part, the development of it, that may be better, because it's like, I may be able to do it, but it may take somebody else a whole lot less time to do it. So it's like, why am I even jumping into that? Especially if I can pass that fee on to the client.
And if you are not a control freak, you're not control freak type of person where you want everything to be done exactly a certain way, then it's easier to take advantage of that. You know what I'm saying? Because back in the day, before I knew how to do web design or any web development, coding, anything like that, I would design stuff and I'd hand it off to somebody else to design, to do the implementation and code or whatever, and they would mess it up. And I was disappointed, but I had no control over it. And so I was just like, all right, well, nothing I can do about that. I'm going to let it go.
Well, you have the knowledge of it now, so you can
now I don't have to put up with the excuses. We're like, no, the text can't be black. Like, whatever, you're lying. I know it can. So I think doing that will allow you more flexibility so that you can do the stuff you want to do, but it does mean you have to give up some control, which is fine. The thing I was going to say is I was talking to one of our cousins last week about like managing all the different things that she has going on, because she's like doing photography and now she's trying to start a podcast and some other things as well. And I was telling her, one of the things you have to do is just kind of make time for throughout your week or day or whatever it is, just kind of make time for all the things, but kind of give yourself almost like a timer or a specific schedule, because it's easy to get caught up. Like I was talking about earlier, like I enjoy doing the photo shoot and editing the photos and stuff like that. And I enjoy doing graphic design, but the website was not something I really wanted to do at that time. So I put it off, and then the customer's emailing me like, oh, yo, what's going on? And so I got distracted and was just doing things I wanted to do instead of doing what I needed to do. And I should have just like, okay, I want to work on these photos. I'll work on them for like an hour, and then I need to get back on this website so I can make sure I finish the project and get paid.
Yeah.
Because you could get distracted and like, ooh, I really love doing crack, and you spend too much time doing crack and you don't have a job.
You don't do the thing you really love, so heroin.
You got to balance your time. Shout out to all the opioid addicts.
Your analogies are the worst.
Today, they're the worst all the time.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And another thing I would say is, like, try to find, like for instance, we're getting back into whatever. We're actually designing certs and we're putting in a real effort to design shirts and present things like that, those kind of products, those kind of designs and things like that. And I would say, for me, that's a decision to go to do something that isn't going to take up all of my energy. Because I could do something like, okay, well, oh, I'm designing these shirts, so let me go buy them in bulk and blah, blah, blah. And then I got to ship them and I got to do all this. You know, yeah, you'll make more profit or whatever, but how much of your effort is that taking? Is your time more valuable?
Yeah,
because mine is. I like my downtime and I like my time to do other things. So if the best thing for me is to design them, and then, you know, because they have there's so many options for that now. We do it on our site now, alienmuffin.threadless.com, where you can buy shirts. They're drop shipped. I'm not having to ship anything to anybody. All I have to do is design, upload, you know, choose colors, do some curating like that. I can do ads and do all that kind of stuff. Things that don't require me going to the post office. You know, because that's not the fun part. That's not the part I want to do. And I can spend more effort working on the designs and with ideas and, you know, vehicles for those designs that, you know, don't require, you know, I can spend more of my energy coming with those ideas, so I can make that a successful thing and it won't take up all of my energy like if I was doing this full time and I'm in there in the shipping and, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. It's like, I won't be able to do it successfully. I just know that because of the other things that I'm interested in doing. So, I mean, and I think, you know, as a, you know, especially as a creative person, I know it happens to me where you, you know, you're somebody that has an idea. So people come to you for ideas and support with things and you want to help those people out too. But sometimes you have to be able to take a step back from that and still be able to support, but say, hey, you need to head this up. I can't be at the front of this. I'm here to help, but I can't be in the forefront because it won't be successful because this isn't, you know, because of these other things I'm doing. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because it's just you knowing that, okay, I'm going to overextend myself if I also do this. And, you know, if you know, somebody else is able to lead that and you're able to back them, then I think that's, you know, you can also be useful, but then that takes away some of the pressure that you may have from, like, okay, well, I'm also, you know, I'm running this laundromat and my photography business out of the same building, you know. It's like, how?
How's way?
Well, actually, that'd be pretty easy, actually.
Well,
I need a better example. Doing photography and changing tires out of the same building. That's better. Because actually a laundromat. Yeah. You don't really
have to do anything. That's an important thing, too. Is like, I mean, of course, it's... I won't say you can't choose what you're interested in. You can on some levels, but it's not that easy to just say, I'm choosing not to be interested in this thing. But I think it's good when your interests align in a way that is complementary or whatever. Like we talked about earlier, where you can sell two of your interests to one customer. Because
I just got a good idea for a business. Never mind. I won't share it.
Keep your ideas to yourself. So if your things align, then I think that makes it easier for you to better coordinate things, you know, like you said, the laundromat and the photography business or a laundromat and something else, whatever, it makes it easier to align because you know, well, this one thing kind of takes care of itself and I don't, and it affords me the time to do this other thing. You know what I'm saying? Just like right now, like we talked about before, like we both have a day job, but my day job aligns well enough that I still have time to do a podcast and run a side business or two on the side. So it's cool, and that's something I'm going to look for anytime I go change jobs. I'm looking for that flexibility where, hey, I need to go do a Photoshop shoot today, so I'm taking off. Don't trip.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know for me, I've started working from home on Fridays, which has opened up some time for me. I mean, I'm still able to do my job and everything, but I have, you know, those little breaks and stuff like that. You know, it's when you're in your office. You get your work done, but half the time you're just trying to find a way to pass time. Except for the days when it really is slammed, but it's not always like that. In those days, you're really not doing anything productive. You're just trying to pass time. Versus if you're at home, at least one day a week, it's like I got time. I took my dog to get a haircut. I mean, it didn't, and you know, things like that. I mean, even for me, it's like, all right, well, I can use that time to work on some of my paintings and stuff like that. In between me doing work and stuff like that, in the little moments when I have downtime and things like that. Because I used to do that when I worked from home anyway, and it's like I was able to get everything done. But, that's definitely something I would look for in a job. It's like I need some time where I can, especially living in a city, I mean, you do too, where there's so much traffic and it's really hard to do things after work. Yeah,
it's amazing being home in the middle of the day and needing to go do something, and you're like, oh, it's not going to take me 2 hours to get there.
So
I think I agree with what you're saying, and I think, I don't know, like I said, it's hard to pick what you're interested in, but I think if you kind of plan out your time, and especially just like several women have said to me, you know, you make time for what's important to you, so you've got to choose to make time for what's important. Yeah.
Several women
told you that? So you've got to basically
that is the most sketchy statement.
It's in reality.
I know, it just sounds, depending on who says that.
So like, yeah, you've got anyway, to
whatever, go ahead.
If you have this list of things that are important to you, you just kind of schedule out time in your throughout your days or weeks or months or whatever, and make sure you're working on them. Because I know there's a lot of things for me that I'm interested in working on, that I have things around my office that I'm interested in working on, said I wanted to finish at whatever point in time, and they're still not done because I just didn't schedule the time. So, but I do agree with you about like working from home. It's not always great, but there's so much, like when I'm at the office, there's a whole lot of time that I'm literally not doing anything useful. But when I'm at home, instead of not doing anything useful, I can go like wash some clothes, or I can clean up some bathroom, or I can finish up something little that I was going to do. And when I'm at the office, I'm just kind of sitting there getting paid for doing nothing. So,
yeah, especially when you work in design, because like half of our job is coming up with ideas, and I don't need to be just sitting in front of a computer to come up with ideas. Actually, it's better for me not to be sitting in front of a computer to come up with ideas. It's just, that's not, you know, office friendly. So, but, I guess thanks for listening. I hope somebody took something away from it. Like we said, we'll include the price list in the notes.
Yep. Check out our shop.
Alien
Muffin.
Like we
said on last episode, threadless.com. You can go buy it if you're into reading or know people that read or are interested in learning to read.
Yeah. And we're going to be branching into other products that we can put that on, because I know everybody doesn't want a t-shirt. So, but finding the vehicle. But